Well, hello everybody. Today we're going on a little tour to check out some of the weird things that they have kicking around in this town. They call it public art, but I call it wolves in sheep's clothing. It's actually a good topic for me because I'm actually professionally accredited to speak on the topic. I am indeed S. Williamism BA Honours Fine Art. So you can trust me. I'm a professional. And there's some very good news. I've realised very recently I have finished paying back my student loan, and it only took 27 years, which was well worth it. But that degree belongs to me now, and just as well, really, because I'm going to need it for this video.
As soon as art became commercial, it became controlled by interested groups who wanted to communicate a message to the masses. In the olden days, the state or the church would commission artists to produce specific objects to broadcast either a moral message or a guidance for behaviour, like remembrance. But in the modern day, things have changed. The state and the church are now not the wealthy people in the room, and every conceivable object you would ever want to display is available on the open market somewhere. So wealthy entities pick and choose to find a fitting object to sow their message, and their message is not always immediately obvious, at least to your conscious mind.
Every piece of public art has the exoteric impression and the esoteric message. Take this sculpture by Richard Serra that's been here since 1987. The exoteric, essentially the general rule is the bigger the better, so people notice it. And then what about the esoteric message? In this case, you get to find out by exploring the Pentagon. What does it mean? Oh, it's bright. What does it mean? Well, it's difficult to know. I mean, it's esoteric, but all we do know is that somebody chose to have it here so that it was seen by lots and lots of people. So imagine you're a corporate executive and you've been charged with the responsibility of picking a statue to go here. You'll survey the public market, the art market, and you'll be looking for something big. And also, I guess, something with a pentagon, because that was in some way meaningful for them. Whatever the artist meant by it is kind of irrelevant now, because it's the corporate executive's idea that is actually displayed here. And that one has been there for 40 years, so I'm not actually here to see that one. I'm here to see this, new shiny one. Infinite accumulation. The dynamic, highly reflective architectural form, mirroring the viewer and the world around it, means infinite accumulation responds to both individual and collective experience with the changing spaces of the urban landscape of London. London is changing. Yes. Yes, it is. The exoteric, the little circles, apparently are like people and their organic social network. We could also be trains on a transport network. The art was created with essentially free money because of a larger, very expensive project called Crossrail. I made a video many, many years ago about going to King's Cross Station when they just spent an enormous amount of money before the Olympic Games to build a new sort of flying saucer on it. And I got kicked out essentially because I was upset with all of the CCTV they were installing. But I realised then that whenever they spend extraordinary amounts of money on one of these massive projects, they do of course take the opportunity to build some kind of new dazzling, sparkling surveillance machine, which I believe they have done so here. Although not much noise is being made about it, London is changing. The smart city agenda is alive and kicking and moving at quite a pace, and you can be sure that the transport network will be at the heart of the data collection needed to run it. So these sparkly balls, infinite accumulation of photons, to me, it's describing TFL's totally pervasive CCTV capturing, which is almost total coverage. So for me, these little balls, each of them is like the image from a CCTV camera. A reminder that when I enter the transport network, my identity is recorded and my location is tracked. But they don't need to track my location because I will tell them. I'm going to Trafalgar Square. Ah, the fourth plinth in Trafalgar Square. I've commented on most of these, I think, since they've been doing this. 1,000 times in an instant. 1,000? There's not 1,000 here, there's only 726, so... instant fail. I'm trying to get away from the noise. So, let's deal with the exoteric. It's a cube. It's sort of square. And the reason it's square is because this is a famous square. Trafalgar Square is known for being square. The artist decided to reflect the squareness in their piece of art, but that's not really relevant. It's just a weak design decision that has been made by the artist. The actual important stuff is the detail. You know that expression, nobody was harmed during the making of this? Well, that doesn't really apply to this. The idea is that each mask represents an experience of a non-binary person, and all these experiences are displayed here overlapping as if it all happened at the same instant. This concentrated experience, but what experience are we talking about exactly? Well, I can tell you because I've experienced it, and it is mostly fear and panic followed by regret and remorse. And let's not forget pain. Oh look, friends coming down with us. So when you're new to art college and you suddenly realise that you basically have access to an infinite amount of plaster of Paris, you come up with ideas like, oh, I'm going to cast my arm. But the trouble is there's a kind of a health and safety protocol, and the most important part of it is Vaseline. If you don't put Vaseline on every single hair so that it's lying flat, if you put your arm in plaster, you'll feel it's all sort of soft and vaguely warm. As it sets, it kind of gets warmer. It feels very sort of nice. And then when it's set, you suddenly have the terrible realization that every single micro hair on your arm no longer belongs to you and is trapped within the plaster. And this turns into the most horrendously painful, horrible experience that a human can have outside of childbirth. Now imagine being stupid enough to do that, but not to your arm, but to your face, or to faces. 726 faces. It's made up of plaster casts of the faces of hundreds of transgender, non-binary and gender non-conforming people. Each mold was created by applying plaster directly to the participant's face and retains traces of skin, hair, and eyelashes. Erosion will transform the material slowly over time. That's actually really disgusting and horrific. Why did you do this to these poor, poor people? So the message chosen to be absorbed by all of these people every single day is one of concentrated pain and anguish. Thanks, National Gallery. I am inspired. Well done. Can TfL even see me from here? Hey, TfL! I'm going to Greenwich! Okay? Oh, look! It's City Hall. This is where they've been hiding. And what's that?
Firstly, the exoteric. It's enormous. And the bigger it is, the more value for money they get, because the more eyeballs can see it, the larger geographical area is influenced by it. All of these poor people get to see it out of their window every day, an ever-present reminder of what exactly?
Oh, mummy, can we go see it? What is it? I don't know, Timmy. Should we go and have a look?
It's an ancient Mesopotamian demon.
What's that, Timmy? You want to go home now?
It's really big. Demon with bowl. Ancient Mesopotamian demons were complex primeval creatures that inhabited an intermediary realm between the human, animal, and divine, embodying a transgressive response to rigid social structures. Embodying a transgressive response to rigid social structures. Wow, so basically the missing head should be Karl Marx. The supposition that the bowl head in the demon's outstretched arm was a vessel used for collecting human blood conforms to the misapprehension that demons were universally destructive beings. Wow. So we need to unpack that. So the bowl is definitely for collecting human blood, but not all demons are bad, apparently. This figure more likely served as a guardian to the home of an elite personage. Okay. Break down the social structure and let an elite personage harvest your blood. Seems normal.
I take it back. It's not even esoteric. It's pretty blatant. Hey, everyone, I just wanted to let you know that they want to break down your social barriers so that they can let an elite person harvest your blood. It's okay. Alright, sleep well.
There's something wrong with this town.